sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
Today you're going to hear the second and final part of the interview with former State Department diplomat and author Michael Springman to discuss his recently released book, Visas for Al-Qaeda, CIA Handouts That Rocked the World, An Insider's View. And that'll be followed by some 9/11 and related news updates. So let's begin with the interview. Michael Springman was assigned to the U.S. Visa Office in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, in the 1980s, which was heavy with CIA influence, and where he was repeatedly asked to issue visas to very questionable characters. When he questioned the practice and refused some of these visas, he was reassigned and eventually fired. After 9/11, he reported this situation to the FBI, some members of Congress, and several other government offices, but nobody wanted to listen. And now here's the conclusion of our recent interview. Now, in Egypt, with the color revolution, was the CIA, NSA, other governments behind that destabilization? And
I think so. I remember there were a bunch of non-governmental organizations that were sent packing and members were arrested for interfering in the internal affairs of Egypt. And I sort of had the impression from reading this in the paper that these people were working to change the government of Egypt into something that the Americans might want to work with or could work with better. Mubarak was out because enough people hated him for enough years that they wanted to get rid of him. But unfortunately, after they threw Mubarak out, you still had a lot of the same people that Mubarak had put into high positions still in office. And I had one Egyptian guy tell me that, let's wait and see. Don't congratulate me on the change in Egypt until we see what's happening, because a lot of the old boys are still in place. And while they did get more democratic government for a time, the Muslim Brotherhood was continually being attacked by outsiders saying, you know, these people are bad, they're horrible, they wanted to bring back a repressive state, when the guy in charge of the government at the time was kind of inept and had made a number of bad decisions. But what they've got now, the military dictatorship under Sisi, is far worse than what they would have had with their first experiment in the real democracy in Egypt in decades.
So what I'm gathering from everything is that we have this secret government, so to speak, run by the CIA, the NSA. Mm-hmm. They're training, arming, and financing with the help of other intelligence agencies from around the world, these militants, and they use them to destabilize countries around the world. They've gone from being blamed for 9/11 to Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Egypt, Libya. And we have a media that under Operation Mockingbird is not challenging that and is actually putting out the propaganda that supports this, the lies that we're being told about this. What hope do we have? Where do we go from here?
Well, I tell you, we don't have much hope. I'm really pessimistic on the future. I mean, I talked to one Arab-American attorney in researching the book, and he said, well, you know, when the intelligence services have such control over domestic and foreign policy, the outlook for democracy is really, really dim. And he said that if you could impeach some of these people and put them in jail, you might have a chance. But as we see, as much as everybody hated the Bush family, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats wouldn't bring impeachment proceedings against them. We have a president now, Barry Obama, who has more wars going than the Bush crime syndicate ever did. I think it's 7-4. And he got the Nobel Peace Prize. And nobody can say a word against him. The press loves him. Of course, there's only about 5 organizations that control radio and TV across the country. That's easy to manipulate.
So I guess what you're saying is until we undo the CIA and the NSA and the secret government that we have, we don't have much hope.
Exactly.
You mentioned in the book that people like Phyllis Venice, a leader in the anti-war movement, won't look at this information that you're providing. And why do you think that is?
I don't know. I had one guy tell me that Phyllis Venice doesn't know the meaning of the word imperialism. But when I heard her talk, she always made eminent sense until I ran into her by chance at the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee convention a couple of years ago. And I asked her about the Arab-Afghan Legion, and she said, oh, well, these people never existed, and if they did, they don't exist anymore.
And just for our listeners, the Arab-Afghan Legion was the name for the Al-Qaeda before it became Al-Qaeda?
That's what I'm calling this whole group from the Mujahideen to IS. It's the Arab-Afghan Legion. They were people that were recruited for the war in Afghanistan, and because they weren't Afghans, but were fighting in Afghanistan, they were called Arab-Afghans.
And so she said she doesn't believe they exist?
Yeah. And if they ever existed, they don't exist anymore. I wasn't cryptic. I said the Arab-Afghans, the guys who were the Mujahideen, who then morphed into Al-Qaeda and so forth. And the same thing with Hawaid Assad. She had been legal director of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee when I was an intern there. And she told me she'd been a nurse in South Asia ministering to these people. And she wouldn't talk to me. She wouldn't answer letters. She wouldn't answer phone calls or emails or whatever. And I ran into her at the convention where she got an award. And I said, Hawaida, you know, what's the story on the Arab Afghans? Oh, they were nasty people, but that ended with the war in Afghanistan against the Soviets. And she didn't want to talk about it anymore.
What do you make of all that, that these very intelligent people otherwise are refusing to see this?
Well, I mean, if you speak out too sharply and to the point against the government or sacred cows, you're cast out as a troublemaker, a crank, a person who shouldn't be taken seriously. And they want to keep their speaker fees coming in. They want to be regarded as a knowledgeable person in the area and talking to all kinds of government and private groups as experts on anti-terrorism or the Middle East or any other organization or that you or cause that you might think of. And they want to protect themselves first, foremost, and always.
It's kind of sad because there are a lot of people who look to them to know what's going on. And
exactly.
It's frustrating. Now, so based on your research then and the book you've written, is it fair to say that the global war on terror is a total hoax?
Yeah, I would think so. It's jobs for the boys. We have all the people in the government, from the CIA's not very clandestine service to the NSA to Homeland Security and everything else. They get paid every 2 weeks. You sell bombs and gas masks and bulletproof armor to people in these wars that we're involved in or that we're fighting for terrorism's sake. It's big business for America. It puts money into people's pockets. And they're all very happy with it. And the United States, frankly, needs enemies. When the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, there wasn't any evil empire anymore. And, you know, what are we going to do with this huge war machine? And all of these intelligence services, or maybe not very intelligent services, that were set up to fight the Soviet Union, what are we going to do with them? And about that point, we began hearing about terrorism and Osama bin Laden and problems here and problems there, and we have to be ready to fight them. I mean, look at the Homeland Security. They were worried about their budget being cut, and the House of Representatives was questioning them and saying, what are we going to do about illegal immigration? And all of a sudden, the FBI just happens to find three IS people in New York City who are ready to overthrow the United States government.
Right. They turn up at the most convenient times.
Mm-hmm.
And one other question for you. The Project for a New American Century called for full-spectrum dominance of the world,
mm-hmm.
using the U.S. military. I'm wondering, are they behind this? Is this what they want? Is this imperialism really wanting total control of the world?
Pretty much. I remember reading this, and I remember seeing predictions like Cheney was saying, we want to overthrow Libya and Iraq and Syria and so forth. And then aside from Iran and maybe another country somewhere else, they pretty much got what they want. And if you look at Iran with all these assassinations and mysterious explosions, you see a covert war in full operation there. So they've got this. They're breaking these countries. And, of course, you've got America with its huge war machine. 39% of all military spending in the world comes from the United States. You've got this huge Army, Navy, Air Force going, and you can look at the size of the population, the per capita income, and the armed forces of the countries we've been fighting, and it's David and Goliath is kicking the living hell out of David.
So where do we go from here? Where do you see the next countries they'll go after if they're successful?
I was talking about that with a knowledgeable observer just as I was finishing up my book, and we decided that Morocco maybe wouldn't be overthrown because they have close ties to the repressive monarchies to the east, But you've got Algeria, which has a lot of disaffected and rather extreme Muslims in the country. And you've got the American ambassador, Henry Encher, there. He was the guy that was sending mysterious applicants when we were in Jeddah together. And you've got Oman, for example, which has a very repressive government. You've got an alliance between the government and the military. You've got an economy that's going to pieces. And you've got the American ambassador, Greta Holtz, the woman who made such problems and who was so hated when she was working in Jeddah. So now she's ambassador to Oman. So I think, you know, those are two of the countries. Algeria and Oman would be good places to knock apart. And, of course, there's Iran. I mean, they keep talking and talking and talking about, well, we need to deal with Iran so they won't make atomic bombs. Well, they're completely missing the boat on who's got the atomic bombs. It's Israel. And I've seen 100, 200, 300, and 400 bombs that they have, depending on who you're talking to. And we know that Britain and France each have about 200 atomic bombs. So the Israelis are pretty well armed, and they have a lot of poison gas, and they had a lot of deadly bacteria, but nobody wants to talk about this.
Well, fascinating book. Again, I want to recommend that the listeners get a copy of Visas for Al-Qaeda, the CIA Handouts That Rocked the World, by J. Michael Springman, An Insider's View. And, Michael, where can people get a copy of the book? Is it out yet for purchase?
It's been out. It's up on Amazon U.S., Amazon Europe, and you can get a Kindle e-book as well.
Okay, great. Well, Michael Springman, is there anything that I haven't asked you or we haven't discussed that you'd like to share with the listeners?
I think we pretty much covered the waterfront.
Okay, great. Well, I really want to thank you for writing the book, and hopefully our listeners will go out and pick up a copy and be more knowledgeable about what's really going on.
All right, well, I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk about the book and to answer your questions and provide as much information as I can.
And again, you were just listening to the second and final part of a recent interview with author Michael Springman. To hear the first part of that interview, you can go to radioforall.net, and that's the digit for radioforall.net, and search under Cheryl with a C. And now let's begin with the 9/11 and related news updates. As I reported on a previous show, the Danish professor Dr. Niels Harrit, distinguished co-author of the landmark nanothermite paper, appeared in Danish High Court in March to bring an appeal in his libel suit against the Danish newspaper Weekend Avisen. It all started back in December 2012 with an article in Weekend Avisen by writer Søren K. Viemos, where he referred to Dr. Harrit and his fellow 9/11 activists as crackpots, and also compared them to creationists and Holocaust deniers. Dr. Harrit, a scientist who taught chemistry for 40 years at the University of Copenhagen, thought that this amounted to an allegation of scientific misconduct and a baseless attempt to damage his hard-earned reputation, so he decided to seek recourse under Denmark's strong libel law. On March 27th, the Danish Eastern High Court acquitted Weekend Avisen of the charge of libel. The hard copy of the judgment is a 10-page document that relates mostly to the legal aspects of the case. But importantly, in this official document of the proceedings, the court acknowledges that a video of World Trade Center Building 7 was shown as part of the evidence presented in front of all three judges. The Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth petition was read in court. Architect Jan Utzon represented the 2,300 signatories of AE 911 Truth petition and testified that based on historical experience, a steel frame high-rise does not collapse due to fire. The scientific paper Active Thermitic Material Discovered in Dust from the 9/11 World Trade Center Catastrophe was submitted as evidence. It was demonstrated in court with the aid of a strong magnet that a sample of World Trade Center dust did contain iron microspheres, proof that thermite had been used in the demolition of the World Trade Center. The famous footnote 13 on page 82 of the National Institute of Standards and Technology's report on the destruction of the Twin Towers was read in court twice. It is reprinted in the judgment. From that footnote, the three judges clearly understood that there is no official technical account for the actual collapses of the Twin Towers. Also submitted into court were the 2013 and 14 polls conducted by Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth about World Trade Center 7, where approximately half of the Americans and Canadians said they either were sure or they suspected that the collapse of World Trade Center 7 was caused by a controlled demolition. According to Niels Harrit, all these are firsts in a courtroom in any country and firsts to go into the legal record in any country. He also said, yes, we lost a small battle, but we advanced the cause of 9/11 truth in the process. And I want to thank Niels Harrit for his courage in going to court over that issue. And now for another court-related item. There's an article on Global Research posted on April 4th. The title is U.S.-Sponsored Torture. Former Guantanamo Prison Chief Jeffrey Miller Faces French Court Inquiry. French citizens Nizar Sassi and Mourad Benchalali have filed a lawsuit in a French court against the former Guantanamo chief, demanding a criminal probe into his actions. On April 2nd, the court granted the complaint, summoning the former American general to France for a hearing. The French judge's decision might set a precedent for more prosecutions of U.S. military personnel who served at Guantanamo Bay. Sassi and Benchalali were some of the first prisoners incarcerated in Guantanamo in late 2001 after their arrest in Afghanistan by U.S. forces. Sassi was released in 2004, Benchalali was set free in 2005, and both were brought back to France. In a report submitted to a French court in 2014, the former Gitmo inmates accused Jeffrey Miller of an authorized and systematic plan of torture and ill treatment of persons deprived of their freedom without any charge and without basic rights. Jeffrey Miller, who was commander of the Guantanamo Bay prison from 2002 to 2004, bears individual criminal responsibility for the war crimes and acts of torture inflicted on detainees in U.S. custody at Guantanamo, the French court claims. The ex-general headed the facility after President George W. Bush approved enhanced interrogation techniques. So this is one to watch. Perhaps eventually others will be held accountable for the horrors of Guantanamo. And while we're talking about the French, there's a new book out called We Are Not Charlie Hebdo. Freethinkers Question the French 9/11. It's a book that's edited by Kevin Barrett and has contributions from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, Pentagon researcher Barbara Honegger, Canadian professor Anthony Hall, author Webster Tarpley, and Rabbi Michael Lerner, to name just a few. You can get a copy by going to the website createspace.com. And again, that's createspace.com. And again, the title is We Are Not Charlie Hebdo, Freethinkers Question the French 9/11. And there's yet another article about France that I want to share with you. This one was posted on 21st Century Wire in late March, and it's called France Moves to Make Conspiracy Theories Illegal by Government Decree. And I'm just going to read you a part of it here. It says, Hollande has equated conspiracy theories to Nazism and is calling for government regulations to prevent any sharing or publishing of any views deemed as, quote, dangerous thought by the state. Specifically, Hollande is citing anti-Semitism and also anything which could inspire acts of terrorism as the chief vehicles for what the state will be designating as dangerous thoughts. With the thumb of Hebdo still pressing down, this may just sound like politics writ large by the French leader, but in reality, it is full-blown fascism. This article also goes on to say that Western governments, particularly those in the U.S. and Britain, already spent millions, if not billions, in state funds in order to infiltrate, disrupt, and occupy forum websites and social networking groups of so-called conspiracy theorists, and even have created entirely new groups just to contradict them. And if that wasn't already enough, now France wants to take it to a whole new authorization level. It may sound ridiculous, but this is exactly what is taking place in government as we speak. And related to the Paris attacks, Kevin Ryan posted an article on his website on January 11th of this year called Nine Questions About the Paris Attacks, where he kind of goes through some of the major questions there. So if you're interested in looking at that, you can go to his website, which is digwithin.net. And now let's talk about more censorship. On or about February 20th, the video on YouTube called Architects and Engineers Solving the Mystery of Building 7, with Ed Asner as the main speaker in it, was taken down by YouTube. And when you went to try and find it, this is what you saw. It said, quote, "This video has been removed as a violation of YouTube's policy against spam, scams, and commercially deceptive content," unquote. Which is very interesting because the video is all about the science of the collapse of Building 7. And my understanding is that it's now been reposted by YouTube. But prior to being taken down, it had over 1.5 million views. So I want to encourage you to go and watch this video on YouTube. It's called Architects and Engineers Solving the Mystery of Building 7 with Ed Asner. And speaking of architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, they recently put a resolution before the American Institute of Architects requesting an investigation into the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7. It was accepted by the American Institute of Architects as a resolution that will be put before the members for a vote at their national conference coming up in the next few months. Imagine the impact of the American Institute of Architects going on record demanding a new investigation into World Trade Center Building 7. If you want to learn more about their efforts or help them out with this, you can find out more about this on their website, ae911truth.org. You can also get great t-shirts, lawn signs, coffee mugs, movies, hats, bumper stickers, and many other items on their website that promote 9/11 Truth. The architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth have been relentless in challenging NIST, the government agency in charge of investigating the collapse of the three World Trade Center towers. And they've created a list of 25 areas of specific concern with the NIST World Trade Center reports. And their document says, below is a series of 25 provable points which clearly demonstrate that the reports produced by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, on the destruction of the World Trade Center were unscientific and fraudulent. Therefore, NIST itself, including its lead authors, Shyam Sunder and John Gross, should be investigated. And again, this is coming from the over 2,300 plus architects and engineers who are demanding a new investigation. So these guys are, they're really a highly credible group. And I encourage you to go to their website again, and you can do some research on these 25 points they've created. And again, the website is ae911truth.org. And if you're not already a member of the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, now would be a really good time to join. And while we're talking about collapsing towers, on February 20th in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, the world's fifth highest residential structure, the 79-story Marina Torch building, burned for just over 2 hours and did not collapse. The three World Trade Center buildings are the only ones in the history of steel-framed buildings to collapse due to fire, according to the official version of events. And now I want to share with you parts of an article posted on Veterans Today on March 16, 2015. And it says, Fox News analyst faces terror extradition. A probe launched into Fox News analyst's kill Russians comment. And here goes. Russia's top federal law enforcement agency has opened a criminal probe into the statement by a retired U.S. Army general who suggested that the Ukrainian crisis could be settled by, quote, killing Russians. The criminal case was started against Robert H. Scales on charges of public calls for starting an aggressive war made in the media. The chief spokesman for the investigative committee, Vladimir Markin, told reporters Thursday, under the Russian criminal code, this crime can carry up to 5 years in prison. According to the investigative committee, Scales' statement also violated Article 20 of the United Nations International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which bans any propaganda of war and instigation of discrimination, hatred, or violence. Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman Alexander Luskashevich also urged the retired U.S. Army general to take notice of the fact that a criminal investigation had been launched against him. And on a final note today, Journalist, attorney, and author of the book Presidential Puppetry, Andrew Craig, will be speaking at the University of Hartford on Thursday, April 23rd at 7 p.m. in the Auerbach Auditorium in Hillier Hall. And again, that's Thursday, April 23rd, 7 p.m. in the Auerbach Auditorium on the campus of the University of Hartford. And I'm going to end the show today with a song by three local talented guys. It's called Building 7, and it was created by Carl Seeger Henry, Gary J. Fox Jr., and Mark Saunders. And here it is.
Building 7, the smoking gun. It tells the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells it true. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. At the World Trade Center, three buildings came down, hit by two planes, panic all around. But Building 7 had barely a scratch, not hit by plane, yet it still collapsed. And office fires were blamed for that. Building 7, the smoking gun. It tells the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells the truth. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. The first responders saw molten steel. They heard explosions, swore they were real. And we all watched a scene surreal. Those buildings fell with roaring blast. A demolition controlled and fast. Building 7, the smoking gun. It tells the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells the truth. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. We want the truth. The real cause. So many questions, it gives one pause. The official story, so full of flaws. Our leaders command us to just move on. We're here to tell you we won't move on. We're here to tell you we won't move on. We're here to tell you we won't move on. 'Cause Building 7's the smoking gun. We see the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells the truth. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. 9/11, Building 7.